Hi, and welcome to the UtiniCast, our squad's nothing but trouble. This is episode 486, being recorded on Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Yes, that is correct. I'm your host, Chill, and with me is my co-host, Kitty Kisses. Hey, Kitty.
Hey, Chill. Bad match night.
I know. In fact, I'll talk about that in just a sec. But what have you been up to since the last show, which was more than 2 weeks ago in this case?
Yes, I am going to, I don't have a lot. I want to hear about what you've been up to. So I've got just a couple things. Galactic Seasonings. I've been really enjoying it because I've really liked unlocking the Capero Stronghold. Nice. It's fun. Like running those little missions. I know they're kind of like fetch quests and stuff, but it's just nice, you know, to do something different and to have it unlock a stronghold. Yeah. I think it's really fun. And the story's kind of interesting, and I don't know. It's fun. But I'm not even halfway yet because I'm going slow. I'm pumping the brakes. However, every once in a while I get a little excited, and then I get all 7 missions done, but I have yet to get all the 12
ones.
Missions done. So I'm still going pretty slow. I got the outfit, the first outfit.
Okay. You get there's roughly two different outfits
that you can acquire. I'm about halfway, but enjoying it, and I'm already missing it, even though I'm only halfway through, because I know that I'll finish it.
Yeah, you're well ahead of the season,
then I'm like, oh man. Well, I had a little bit of extra time.
And there's 103 days left as of today, because I just happened to notice that when I was online doing dailies and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, there's still, that's, you know, like a little more than three months. That's quite a bit. So,
it's a long time. It's great. Makes it so leisurely. I don't feel like I need to log in and do it. It's just kind of there. It adds a little element. I can do a mission. I cannot do a mission. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then worst comes to worst, you just, you know, pay cartel coins. So,
and I know some people have.
It. It's great. Some people just are like, I'm done.
Yeah, I didn't see.
Got it.
I can't confirm because I didn't watch the little video where she did it, but Sweaterista had like all of Copero unlocked. So I think what she did is she just, you know, blasted with some cartel coins to sort of get up to the last level that you get the final unlock for Copero. So she was able to do a little guide, and that was happening like right before I left on vacation.
Speaking of which, happy birthday, Sweaterista. She did a little event on Saturday that was pretty cool. I popped in, just said hi, and because I was streaming
too. That's excellent.
But it looked pretty fun. Yeah. The saint of Swotor is what I always call her when we
she
talk
does
about
a lot of
her.
Yeah.
On the stream, like
a lot of good
Swotor
stuff. Lots of guides. Coming up with. It's amazing that she's still coming out with guides because you know she's done companions and weapons and armor and dyes and there's other ones too. Yeah.
Very prolific. Yeah. I finished sending over tunes over to Shea Vizsla.
Nice.
For free. I sent 15 million on each of them. I made sure to send them with endgame gear, and I sent some that have the Hyde and Zeke unlocked. And just made sure that I was all my bases
That's
were
a
covered,
lot.
And I think the main I did 10. I think
That's
I did
really
10
high.
Of them. I didn't
do
14. Yeah, and my main reason was to get less characters on Shea Vizsla. I needed to get them off of Shea Vizsla. Because
you didn't care about having a bunch on Shea Vizsla, you just wanted more slots free.
I really wanted to have more slots, although I made sure
Sean, we get it though.
And
Kitty Treats is correct.
Yes, So, because I was getting close to my cap, which isn't 100, but it's right. really high. Do you have?
I'm not quite, but I'm in unlocked? I'm 85, 86.
Are you in the 80s?
I'm okay. getting there.
I think I'm in the high 70s, early.
And I know
80s,
what you mean
maybe.
Because like I've got like I have some or at least had some characters who are from like the old days when I was actually doing RP characters, and it was before I was streaming. Once I started streaming, pretty soon after that, I sort of locked onto the idea of doing like specific cosplay characters. And
right.
every once right. in a while, once I started, you know, getting all the slots filled in, then usually I would, mm-hmm. if I wanted another character, I would open another slot. But sometimes I wouldn't have enough cartel coins or whatever, or I just didn't feel like it. And I would go back and I would delete an old RP mm-hmm. character because most of them, you know, I had not either, you know, they weren't even necessarily end game or, you know, or whatever, or it had been like a couple of expansions, you know, before or whatever. Anyway, so over time now, I have like 86 slots and they're basically all filled with role playing characters. So I actually, one character that I did move over to Shay Vizsla, and I did it like, this was like right before I went on vacation, was my very first character because I didn't want to delete him, but I'm never going to really play him because there's not really a lot of reason to play him. He was still, I had done a little bit with him. Because I'd moved on from him. He was going to be my main, but then I didn't like how the tanking... I was going to be the tank for the operation, so that's why I was leveling him as a trooper. Right. And that was fine. He's an okay character and whatever. But at the time, I didn't like how the tanking was going on him. Like I didn't like how the rotation was and whatever. I actually like it better nowadays. So then I switched to a shadow tank. And then that was my main for like the first two expansions. And so that first character just kind of sat there. And eventually at some point I picked him up a little bit and he ended up having the Rishi pirate outfit on because this was pre outfitter. Right. And
oh, yeah. And crap.
He just happened to have that outfit on because like that's where he kind of like stopped. And I hadn't touched him since then. So he was still in like that's this funny. Rishi pirate outfit from, you know, a long time ago.
Was your UI different?
Yeah. And
that's always funny seeing how your old UI looks when you go over to look at.
Because what happens is team. I usually.
Yeah, it's funny.
When it comes to UIs, I used to make a new one for every character. And what I would do is I had like one that I would sort of use as the template, but I would rename it. And that way, you know, if I wanted to, I could move some things around. But I realized finally I wasn't doing that yet. So I have like over 50 on this list that comes up.
Oh, man.
But the thing is, I don't really change things very often. Making a healer, sometimes I will because if you're doing the group thing and you want the groups to be in the right area and stuff like that. So,
right,
that's about the only time. So now, what really forced me to actually stop doing the renaming for every character and just go with one is not very long ago when they made the big map change. Because now, when to change it from the way it was to the way it is, and I had to resize the map just a certain way, and I don't want to have to like redo that for every character, so I am not doing that.
No.
So what I did is I picked one. It happens to be Chill Ivy, who was sort of like a semi main from like two expansions ago or whatever, and
I've seen Chill Ivy around.
She was my DPS main on the Empire side from like don't think it was Kotfi. I think it was the one after, and I just picked that one because it was happened to be near the top of the list for whatever reason. It doesn't seem to be alphabetical, so but I don't know how they pick up what order it's in, but anyway, It happened to be near the top of the list. I just, okay, I can remember that one. I was like, okay, I'll remember that one. Because it's also a really short name. It's all one word, right. And it's just three letters after the chill part, because every name starts with chill. And so that one, it was a nice short one. I was like, okay, I think I remember that. And now I just do. I just, and every character is like, okay, where's Chill Ivan? I just grab it.
Right.
So yeah, no, and I don't change it anymore. I just have the same one. It's basically... Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've made a few changes, and of course the map change did happen, but this is basically still the same template that I use that from way back in the day when like there was that site that would you could upload your UI customizations for SWTOR 2.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. It's technically still around somewhere.
And I did upload.
Yeah, people have brought it up in chat before.
At one point, and it really hasn't changed much since then. So, and it still served me very well. Like I said, other than the big map change, it's been the same since. So, go ahead.
It's DPS 00, and then zero and then a number. So 001, 002. Because I'm like, who knows if I get to 100 when I started doing it? Because every character, I would do the same thing you're talking about. I'd name it a certain name of that character, but then I'm realizing, oh, these are all the same.
Yeah, if you're not actually customizing it for each now character,
no, not at all. It's the same. Mm-hmm. Like all of my, all of the HUD is all in the same spot, except for DPS and heal or tank and heals. Those are the only ones that are a little different because, just like you said, I want to have certain things up near the operations or group list so that I can hit a person and then do whatever I need to do. But now I update them a little bit so that I'll move one thing. Or I'll change one thing or move one thing, and then it just goes up another digit. So now I just scroll down to the highest number. Right, I'm like, that's the one.
But
and same thing with all my saved.
So then when you go back to, well, maybe you don't go back to old characters. Do you then update their UI to the new version? Do you like say, oh, that's 21. I'm on 37. Let's change it to 37.
I actually quit all that and went back to one.
And now,
once I started,
now you're
doing
back
it.
To
but
just
anyway,
having one DPS, one heal, one tank.
Yeah. No, there's like eight.
That's still.
I just go down to the highest number. And the same goes for my hotkeys. Mm-hmm. You know, I have like a list of my saves, and it's always
the same. Yeah.
Just the.
And for me, it's always been the idea that,
all the same.
Especially the ones that, like abilities that tend to overlap, or be on every class, like the interrupt. The interrupt's on the same button.
Button.
So I just keybind in a such a way that, and then I move the abilities so that it's interrupt's always on that button. And like the main bar are the main sort of the main damage abilities, and I keep the short range short cooldown defensive cooldowns on a couple of buttons, longer time cooldowns on another one, offensive cooldowns on another one, AOE on another one, AOE CC on another one,
same thing,
ground targeted damage on another one. I'm like and that way it's like, okay, if I'm switching to a different spec, it's like, even if I don't get it quite perfect, it's like, okay, well, you know, like if I'm going from, like a sniper, but now I'm on like a sorcerer, well, the ground base AOE is still the same button, you know,
right,
and it does roughly the same thing, even if it's, you know, even if some of it's different, but yeah.
Exactly. The last thing that I got into was I tried PvPing when you left, but I got bored.
I know what you mean.
I think I played like a match.
It really is more fun with a
I'm
friend.
Like,
this sucks. I find it difficult to do it without you too. I absolutely do. So, will you be able to later this week then? Great. All right.
I'm ready tomorrow.
We'll go with it. That sounds good. And yeah.
That's it, baby.
And oh, one other thing about the Shea Vizsla swaps is I just did one. I sent over that one first character. So he's still alive and he still has a purpose because he moved over the stuff there. And also, like, he's a different class from the one who was already there. So that, it, you know, it kind of like,
right.
If there's like a Galactic Season one that's a trooper now, you know, I can do trooper ones on him and whatever. And eventually, because of that, he'll eventually get to 80 too, which will be nice because he was stuck at like level 65 or whatever from Rishi. So.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's a great idea.
So, all right, let's see. Let's see who we've got here. So, why is this highlighting weird? Okay, doesn't matter. Aaliyah's here. Ava's here. Lonely E-Girl's here. H-A-T-V-E-S is here. 8-Row. 8-On Shay. Cheryl's here. Donk7 here. Darth30Socks is here. Drapsnat. Fawaxty. JD77777 is here. Kayla. Kidley. Kitty Treats is here. Mark Zinks. Pasha, Regresses, Squishy Twitchy, and Starry Saber all here. Hey, everyone. Woo woo! So,
hi,
yeah, mostly I have been out since the last show. Just very shortly after the last episode, I headed out and I was in Italy, actually. So, I took a tour of Italy with my wife. Unlike the Greek tour, which was my wife and my mom, this time it was just my wife. And so she actually left a week early. She went with her mom and her sister to northern Spain. There's like a famous like walk that people do. It's a like a religious walk. And her mom is Catholic. It's a Catholic thing. So my wife's not Catholic, but she was supporting her mom. And so they did. And you can do different sections of it. Like so some people do the quote unquote whole thing. It's over 1,000 kilometers long. But if you do over 100 kilometers, there's like this certain certificate you get. And they did like 150 kilometers of it. And so they did that. They went out a month early. This is northern Spain. Northern Spain in spring is lovely usually. And for them, it just rained basically the whole time. They had the very first day, it was nice weather. It turned to rain and it was actually hailing at some points. It was a cold rain. It was like really, really wet, really cold, really nasty the whole time. So it really was a brutal pilgrimage. it was like they had a rough time weather-wise, but she still, you know, she still enjoyed it. She still liked having time with her mom and her sister. And this is the famous one that they did a movie about it, like 15 years ago or something like that. There's been a book about it that ran, you know, shortly before that. And so some people will know exactly what I'm talking about, and I cannot remember the name of it. But anyway, but they really enjoyed it. She really enjoyed it despite the weather. And after that, she met up with me. I went a couple of days early before her walk thing was finished, just to try to get over the jet lag a little bit. And it wasn't too bad. I actually feel more jet lag this time, which is weird because usually they say it's a little harder to go east than it is to go west. And maybe that's true, but at least this time I'm having if I sound a little rough or my voice occasionally is a little scratchy or whatever today on the show, yeah, I'm definitely dragging a little bit because we just got back. But we had a ball. So I had a couple days there before my wife arrived, and I bought a hat. That's like my new thing. So when I go to a new country, I buy a hat. So in Ireland, I had like one of those wool, like sort of caps. And then when I went to France, I had a sort of like a looser sort of like a Panama style hat. And when I went to Spain, Barcelona, Greece, I bought a hat. Barcelona, I bought a hat. Now I'm in Italy and bought a hat too. And this one was actually a really nice hat. It's like a felt fedora. It was made in Tuscany. And I really like it. Actually, I have it here. I can even show it on. Yeah.
You brought me a hat.
Yeah, so I have a back. Nice, like, it's like a, it, cool. It looks like black on the screen, but it's really a dark blue. It's like a navy blue. And it was made in Tuscany by a company named Panizza. They've apparently been making hats since the 1800s, which is pretty cool. And so it's like a nice rabbit felt hat. And wore that almost every day. When it was windy, I brought a cheap hat from home. That was not like a special one that I bought on a trip. But I brought one just, you know, to cover my head because it was supposed to be sunny, and it was sunny most of the time there. It was really nice weather. And, yeah, but it was nice to have a nicer hat. And, I wore it every day except when it was windy and I was afraid it was going to go, because we're visiting all these things that are like high up or they've got fences because it's an archaeological site and you're not allowed to go in it. And I knew like if the hat blew off, very high chance that I would never see it again. So I wore the cheap hat on the windy days, and then I wore the nice new hat on all the other days. It was really nice. Yeah. And Kidisha is asking if I speak Italian. No, I'm afraid I don't. I'm trying to learn French, and I have, you know, I've been doing that for a while. I'm still not very good at it, but I definitely don't know much Italian. You know, I once in a while, of course, I can recognize words just because they're close to, you know, English words or French words, and that's about it. And I pick up a little bit from, you know, media and movies. You know, I've seen The Godfather, and you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I've been to restaurants, but yeah, beautiful language. We had a really good tour guide, took us all over. So anyway, like after those couple of days, we, you know, and this was in Rome, and that's where the tour started. So my wife came over, and then we had like one day together, and then the tour started. We went on the tour, and then after the tour was finished, we had like two more days in Rome, or was it three? It was kind of three, but we left, you know, early, to head back home. And yeah, so it was one of those tours like this. And I think I may have mentioned this before, but like, this is like a really good way to do, like the first time you're going to a country, which it was for us, more or less. I've been to Italy once before. We had a family destination wedding but we only went to Tuscany for that. So I hadn't been to Rome. I hadn't been really to anywhere else except for Tuscany itself. And so this time, you know, and she hadn't been to Italy at all. And so this is like a great way to hit all the highlights because like, They take care of all the travel, all the tickets, you know, if there's an issue, they take care of that, all the hotels, all, you know, a lot of the meals, not all the meals, but a lot of the meals are sort of like taken care of as well. And it's just, you know, you get local guides for a lot of the places that you go to. And it's just a great way to see like all the highlight stuff. So it's like a highlight reel of Italy is what we got. So we got to see the Colosseum, and we went to we saw the Forum area, went to the Pantheon. This is all in Rome. But then, you know, we went through Tuscany. We saw a couple places in Tuscany. We hit Pisa. So we got to see the Leaning Tower. Then we went right up to the northern border. We got to have little half day in Switzerland. So we've been to Switzerland technically as well. Yeah, we went up a cable car, went up to the top of a mountain, got to look around. That was pretty cool.
Oh.
And then we went down across the northern part of Italy. So we hit Verona, which is famous because that's where like Romeo and Juliet took place. And interestingly, like, even though like it's not otherwise very famous, we just both really dug it. Like, my wife and I both loved Verona when we went there. So there's just something about that city, even though there's other cities that are a little bit more historic or, you know, or older or whatever. But Verona was really cool. It had a really nice vibe. It actually has a really old Roman amphitheater that's one of the best preserved ones as well. In fact, it's going to be
looking at pictures right now. Yeah. It looks gorgeous.
And we spent the money to go up inside the amphitheater and see inside it and take some pictures and stuff. And that place is so well preserved actually that, when the 26 Winter Olympics are going to be in Italy, and when they're going to be there, they're going to be, that amphitheater in Verona is going to be part of the closing ceremonies. So if you like watching the Olympics, and the Winter Olympics will be in 26, they'll be Italy. And there's going to be stuff all over like Northern Italy for the Winter Olympics, but the closing ceremonies, a lot of that's going to be right there in that amphitheater in Verona. So that was really cool. So Verona is really amazing. Then for Venice, we spent like 2 days in Venice, got to see a bunch of cool stuff there. And then we went down the East Coast a little bit, hit a couple of places there. Then we got to Pompeii, which is not really on the East Coast, but it's south of Rome. So we sort of like making a loop. Pompeii was amazing. We definitely need to go back there though, because all we got was like the local tour, and it's a pretty big site. But so we got to see some cool stuff, and we got to learn some stuff from the tour guide. Again, my throat's getting a little tired because I'm just completely jet lagged. But we want to go back because we didn't get any free time at Pompeii. And so all we saw was what the, you know, tour guide had time to show us.
Right.
Really amazing, though. Really cool to see it. Like, you see some of the original lead pipes that were some of the plumbing from Pompeii, which is like,
so cool.
How cool is that?
Right.
And some of the a lot of the decorations, of course, are gone, but there are some, a couple of things. Yeah, like there's mosaic floors that were that managed to survive. And
so
you get
amazing.
To go through the brothel. There's a brothel that wasn't completely destroyed, and it still has some of the pictures on the walls. It's sort of famous because like it's one of the things that sort of makes the rounds on social media, because like it has to do with sex, and you know, people are weird about sex. That's just kind of how people are, especially in, you know, Western society. And so what it was is the upper floor is completely destroyed, and that would have been, but they can tell because from certain things that they can see that like the nicer part of the brothel would have been the upstairs part, and the downstairs part was like for more like the travelers and like people from out of, you know, from not in Pompeii and from other places and stuff like that. And so they had pictures on the wall of like different sex acts, and the idea was they wouldn't necessarily speak Latin. And so in order to know what they wanted, they would be able to like point the picture of like what they wanted. Exactly.
I'll have a number,
it's like
six.
Yeah, it's a McDonald's menu essentially of sex. And some of those pictures managed to survive, like who knows exactly why, but they're still there and they're still quite legible.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh yeah, that's a sex act, all right. And yeah.
I think I found doggy.
That was
style
one of them, actually. Yeah, and they had some other ones too.
Those are really
cool. It was pretty amazing. And then later on, a little ways away, on one of the flagstones that you know, part of the street, they had carved a phallic symbol. And sometimes phallic symbols were just luck symbols and whatever, you know, virility symbols and all that. Mm-hmm. This one though was specifically pointing towards the brothel. So using the anatomy of the phallus, it was pointing it with a way towards the brothel, just as like a you know, early non-verbal advertising from the time. Anyway, so but we need to go back there because we saw some really cool stuff, but like there's an amphitheater in there that's also pretty well preserved. It's famous because it's the one that Pink Floyd did a concert from about 20 years ago, maybe more than that now.
Yep.
I think it was more like 30.
Pompeii. I think it was
70s. So it was more like 30, 40 years ago.
76.
And I'd love to see that, but we just, like I said, we didn't get any free time, and it was not on the path that we were taking with the tour guide. So we need to go back to there. Anyway, and then we came back to Rome. We got to see, we did some more stuff on our own. That's actually when we saw the Pantheon, which I highly recommend because unlike, even the Colosseum is amazing, but like all of the decoration was like stripped, mostly by the Catholic Church in like the early days. Like if you want to see, if you go to St. Peter's Basilica, you'll see all of the marble that was stripped from the Colosseum, basically. So it's like, yeah. So it's like the Colosseum is really impressive for its architecture, but all of it, you know, but all the things that made it beautiful are all gone. The Pantheon was instead,
just the architecture
is amazing.
Itself is amazing.
And some of the decoration is missing, of course, like the statues of the gods are gone because, but the reason that a lot of it survived, including some of the decoration, is the fact that it got taken over by the church, as opposed to, like, you know, sort of abandoned and then, you know, kind of sort of reclaimed later on. This one was actually turned into a church fairly early on. And because of that, like, yeah, they stripped out the big statues of the Roman gods, but a lot of the decoration is still there, and it really is an amazing building. The fact that this dome was made with, you know, like concrete and other materials at that time, really incredible. And it's still standing. And it's really beautiful too. And there's a good tour. You can get an audio tour that we did. That was, anyway. So we had a lot of fun. Great time. Great way. Again, tours like that. Like, you know, I get how, like, people like to have these authentic experiences where they, like, kind of find things on their own and whatever, but that can be very difficult, and especially for the really famous stuff that's very well-traveled and very busy and requires tickets and all that sort of thing. That really, it really is a good idea to take a tour and do it that way. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So anyway, we had a ball, had some good meals as well, especially the ones where we're not part of the tour, but just, like, we found our own little places. That's actually something that we've decided we liked better about, like, the Greek tour, because we had a smaller tour group. They had, like, and then it'll say on the website, like, sometimes it'll say small tour group, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the reason they do that is because, like, if it's under, like, 16 people, they have, like, these little sort of smaller buses and stuff like that. And it doesn't really matter for, like, you know, when you're going to the big places to see, you know, the Colosseum or whatever. But when you're going, in a bigger group, like we were on the Rome tour, it means that they've got to feed 37 people all at once. And that means they can only, like, you know, for the meals that are part of the tour, which is not every meal, but a lot of them are, it has to be something that can feed 37 people very quickly. And that just kind of means that it's going to be, like, not as authentic. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be something that's sort of set up fast, and it's just not as good. Most of the really good meals that we had were the ones that we, you know, sought out our own restaurants, of course, and stuff like that. We actually found one that we ate before the tour, and then so it was so good that when we had the couple of days at Rome at the end, we came back and we ate at the same place. It's called La Tavernelle, and it's amazing. It's just north of the Colosseum, and it was such good food. We ended up eating there three times.
Nice.
Yeah. So let's see. Was there anything else I wanted to say about that before that? Almost all the hotels had air conditioning, and almost all of them had it turned off. So what they do in Italy is there's like a whole seasonal thing. And if it's not summer, basically, they don't let you use the AC at all. So it was actually unseasonably warm for spring, and we had some hot days where we would have loved to have the air conditioning. And the air conditioning was right there. There's a little air conditioning controller, but they don't turn it on until the height of the season. And we had some hot days because of that. So I don't know what to tell you about that, but it was weird. There's always going to be some weird things when you travel, though, so it was like, whatever. I haven't caught up on Bad Batch yet, so I'm still basically where it was when I left for a vacation, because I'm seeing those with my wife, and it was just too hard to try to watch them together on the road and stuff like that. I have managed to catch up with X-Men 97, and I've been hearing Jennifer Hale, who is, of course, Satele and Basta Lashan, also the female trooper, and she's doing Jean Grey. And, of course, there's been a couple of storylines about her, which is really cool. X-Men 97 really is excellent. Remarkable what they're doing, and also the fact that they basically, you know, try to pick up right where the story had ended in 97. It's really cool. So really enjoying that, too. But, yeah, so I just got back and basically yesterday, and just did a couple of dailies and did a little stream today. Got back on Rogue, so we're back on Rogue, which is cool because, you know, X-Men 97 is still coming out. There's still like 3-4 more episodes, I think, before the end of the season. And so it's kind of fun to stick to Rogue for now. And yeah, and also, despite the fact that all I've done is like a couple of dailies, I managed to come up with the tip of the week. So let's get to the tip of the week. And so what I did is I went, the first thing, you know, it was Tuesday, so I got on the Galactic Seasons to see what was going to be going on. And there wasn't a ton of ones that I really wanted to do on every server, because as I've mentioned many times on the show, I get on every server and I try to get at least the daily done every day. That also means I get the weekly 200,000 one pretty much guaranteed as well, as long as I'm very, very consistent. So those two are good. And then after that, I'd only do ones that I can sort of easily do solo, because I'm not going to do a lot of group content, you know, on a French or German server, or even on the English server, you know, because of ping, and also just because I don't spend enough time over there to really develop the relationships and stuff like that. And I don't necessarily want to, you know, do a queue or anything like that. So it sort of limits what I can do, but I do try to pick up a few of the other weeklies when I can. And it wasn't a ton, but it did make me realize that the drop-in one can be done a lot easier than I thought. Because before now, I hadn't really thought it through, and the few times that I had been in other people's strongholds, I had been invited. And for these other servers, that wasn't really going to happen, because most of these characters aren't even in guilds, let alone, you know, have someone that I can actually like ask to go to their stronghold or anything like that. Oh. But what you can do, you don't have to be grouped up, and you don't have to even know anyone. What you can do is you go to the fleet. You click on the stronghold that lets you buy that stronghold, because that also gives you a list of folks who have publicly opened their stronghold for that stronghold. So this week it happens to be the Rishi one. It's the drop-in, and it's the Rishi version of it. And so what you do is you go to the fleet, you click on the one that would allow you to buy the Rishi stronghold. It will then also give you the list of people who've opened their Rishi strongholds, usually so that you can see how they've decorated it or whatever. That's kind of the sort of a point of pride thing. That's usually why people will unlock it. But anyway, you just click on one and it works. I did confirm it. You just go, and it doesn't matter that you're not grouped up, or it's not, you know, it's someone you don't know or whatever. It counts. You're in someone else's Rishi stronghold, and that's all that's important. So there you go. And I hadn't thought that through before. And I'm sure that some people like knew that immediately, have been doing it from day one.
Did.
You did? Good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, for me, that did not click. And I'm sure for some other people, it has not clicked before. But yeah, you can totally do that. So you just go to the fleet, find the one that's for that week, and go from there. And also, as a bonus, you get to kind of see how someone else is decorated, and you know, give you the ideas for that if you're at all interested in decorating. So there you go. So so that, you know, that's another – it's fairly simple to do. And, you know, it takes a little time to get to the fleet, but not that big a deal.
Yeah, and if it's one of the ones – if it's there's a couple of them that you cannot get to on fleet. Just go, like, what is it? I can't think of it. Mechshaw. Just go to Mechshaw. You'll load in to where you buy the stronghold. And you can do the same thing there. So you just have to go look for some of them if they're not on fleet. They'll be on the planets that, you know, that the stronghold is based on.
But, yeah. Have they done the drop-in for Umbara? I don't think they have. If they have, then that one might be tricky to figure out, because I don't think there's one on the fleet.
Yes, there is. Now that you say it.
That's the one that you have to buy, like the special thing from the vendor on Odessen, you know, in the Umbara and other Flashpoint little area. I have no idea. Maybe they avoided that one just because of that. I don't know.
Yeah, if it is, it's near the stronghold or the Galactic Seasonings vendors. Mm-hmm. It should be there, but yeah, again, I'm not sure. Interesting. Right.
Yeah. But we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kitty, you have one as well.
I do. I know that there's a lot of people that want their dark side and light side points so that they can either stay neutral or be dark side fully or fully light side.
Right.
And I forgot about this.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, especially dark side, just because you get the change in your character's look.
Yeah.
You don't, yeah. You know, for the light side, it's mostly just like role-playing points more than right. anything. But, you know, or staying neutral, like you said. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I had forgotten that you get dark side or light side points running the bounty hunter missions. And it's bounty hunter week this week. So make sure you buy a couple of the robots, the either pokey robot or the drink robot. And I couldn't figure out if that's what adds to the points that you get or if it actually does anything. But at one point you threaten someone or you know, there's a light side or a dark side choice that you can make. And I know that one gives 100 and you can right. run this mission, the bounty hunter mission, on any characters that it's available to on that server. And that will all accumulate or, you know, so you can
accumulate
get
light, their personal dark side point.
Yeah.
Side
so points. Yeah. Go for it.
Yep. And get that's it. Also, yep. And that's pretty repeatable as well.
Yeah. You can do it every day. So if you have a character, you can get 500 dark side or light side points, however right. you want to adjust it. And again, I'm not sure what the robots do because those are particularly light side or dark side, but let us know. Mm-hmm. Let us know what that does, or maybe I'll figure it out tomorrow, but get those points.
All right. Sounds good. All right. And if you have a tip of the week, send your tips to tinycast@gmail.com before the next show for a chance to win a Tonfon M83R droid or M2B9 droid code and a 450cc code courtesy of Broadsword. And let's see, that'll bring us to the Mind Trap. And we were asking, we often do this during Galactic Season just to see how people are doing. How far through your through the Comparo Galactic Season are you? We put zero. We always have to do this a little bit differently because it depends on how far through the season we are or when we make the question. And we try to sort of fine tune it a little bit depending on exactly when we ask the question. But anyway, this time we went with zero. 1 through level 1 through 25, 26 through 75, and then 76 through 100. I'm pretty sure 76 through 100, you'd probably have to, even if you were like capping out and doing a lot of the 12s and all that good stuff, mm-hmm. you probably would have to spend some cartel coins to get to 76 or higher by now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, 26 to 75, it is a pretty big you know band as well because that's like half of the points
right
so that was the winner 38.9% of the vote 1 through 25 actually zero was second at 32.3%
that's crazy
because yeah we don't it's interesting that people would actually even vote for that like you know because we usually have people who are like the people who listen to the Utinicast are also currently active players. Not always, though. And apparently, you know, folks sometimes get a hold of the thing, but they're not actually doing the game right now actively. So they're at zero right now. It's pretty hard to avoid getting above zero if you're playing the game, though. Like just by logging in and doing stuff, you're probably going to get a few points and get at least a level one.
Yeah.
and that's what came in third at 21.8% of the vote.
Yeah. Just go to a stronghold. You're level one. Right.
Yep. Practically. Yeah. And 76 through 100, though, did get 7% of the vote. So some people are, you know, powering through and probably spending a reasonable amount of cartel coins on top of it. All right. And thank you for everyone who did vote. I actually, it's funny because I was doing it. I was doing this on the road. I was still in Italy at the time. And it was also like some sort of weird time of day. I accidentally voted for the wrong thing. So
I was wondering what that was.
The check mark is actually by the 76 through 100 because I accidentally touched the screen. Uh-huh. And I touched the screen nowhere near like the actual bar, but apparently the left side of the screen is also like the bar goes all the way out to the side of the screen on the app. So I accidentally voted for the 76 through 100. It should have been 1 through 25 because I was like, I'm almost level 20 right now on all those different servers. because, and you know, obviously I'd be a little higher if I wasn't touring Italy for the last couple of weeks, but hey, it's all good.
I was curious about that because we talked a little bit before the show, and I thought that this was somebody else's screenshot. And I'm like, how did I get the Achini cast marker on there?
Yeah, no, that was me just accidentally voting. And you can't take, unfortunately, you cannot like take away the vote. Like you can't re-vote or anything. If you hit something, you voted, especially on that app, man.
You better be sure.
There's no
going back, baby.
You sure you want to vote for this or redo or anything like
Are
that?
Are you really sure? I went 26 to 75 because I'm right around high 40s.
Nice. Yep. Leva said, I love when Galactic Seasons are live. It gives small goals to work towards, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And someone did ask, like, how is it possible to hit 100 within a few weeks? How long is the season running? And then we just kind of, and some people responded, and I helped with that too. Yeah, because I just, you know, we sort of confirmed that, yeah, you can spend cartel coins and get way ahead. Mm-hmm. You can basically finish it all at once if you're really interested in spending all the cartel coins. It would be a very expensive way to do it, but it is doable. You can also catch up. There's the credit thing, but that doesn't happen at first. You can't really do that right now. You can't get very far that way anyway. It sort of like lags. It sort of like starts a couple, like a week, like a shortly after it starts, but it only adds a couple of levels every once in a while.
Right.
Anyway, it's like it's meant to be just sort of a way for people to catch up if they have the credits to do it. And it gets really expensive credit wise too. Like you can only do a couple of levels on credits, and then it's going to get up into the millions. Like it's impossible for me on Shae Vizsla to to even think about doing, because I just don't have enough credits over to there to do it.
Right, I didn't even think about it over there.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. I thought there was one other one I wanted to mention here. Let's see. Where was it? I guess there wasn't any other that I really care to mention on the show, but there some other people, you know, basically said where they were and stuff like that, which is cool. All right. I'm sorry.
Yes. Meanwhile,
massively jet lagged. Like I'm so
you're doing creepy. A great, like, isn't children a great
I
job?
Appreciate, that's very sweet.
He is like, he's actually awake right now. You guys,
I actually have like that. There's a weird, like when I get really, really tired, I think a lot of people get this, like if you get a certain amount of tiredness, you have this weird sort of pit of the stomach feeling where it's like, it's not quite a stomach ache, but it's like this weird sort of strange feeling in like right around where your stomach is. Huh. And I've got that like right now because I'm like, I'm so tired right now. I'm basically, I'm going to, you know, we'll do the show. I have to have dinner, obviously. You know, do some editing, get the show out, and then it's going to be bedtime, man. I'm going to be hitting it early because it's not just gas.
Bedtime! Yeah.
I tell you though, yeah, like there's nothing like traveling as, like so dehydrated and like so just like, yeah, it's like I had all the digestive issues when just, you know, when you travel like that, and it's like, it's rough, man. Your body's like, where's my nice, you know, my nice routine where I know when, you know, when the food's happening, right, and how much, and you're not like, dehydrating like 80% of the time. But anyway, all right, that'll bring us to the Holo feed. Good enough. Here we go. Events for April. During the gap since the last show, there was a pirate incursion April 2nd through the 9th. So that one has passed us, but we are now on bounty contract week, as Kitty has mentioned.
Indeed.
That's 16th, and then it goes through the 23rd. This requires you to be level 15 and above. And it's basically on the fleet, and it goes to different planets, and you can sort of, you know, choose the ones you want. And then, because, you know, 15, so there's a couple, like the capital worlds are part of it. So that's usually what you do if you're level 15. And then you can choose some of the other ones later on.
Mm-hmm. I usually go Tatooine because it's the easiest one to get to. Most of the bounty, the contracts are close to taxis. So I didn't even know. I just kind of, you know, you get into the rhythm of the beat of your own drum. And I realized I don't think I've ever done one on Voss. So I did one on Voss and it's like, boop, you know, gave me a little update. You have done a bounty hunter mission on Voss. I was like, nice. Oh crap. That's funny.
All right. Let's see. Hang on. Let me take care of something here.
I got it.
Oh, okay. I'm doing it right now, but that's okay. JD's saying in the Saber Interactive has announced the KOTOR 1 remake for PC and console is back in production. Estimated planned release by next year. Been one of the most postponed projects in LucasArts history. Yeah. But now it appears to be actually being coded. Thank you, JD. Yeah, that's true. And I have heard about that being off and on, so it's good to know that it's back on again, because last I heard I had heard about the delay, but I hadn't heard about them getting it going again. So that's actually really nice to know. Thank you, JD. Appreciate it. So the Bounty Contract Week, there is a reputation. So they did nerf the reputation conquest points, but you can get reputation this way. And in fact, you can actually get reputation items that you can then hold on to and click on when you actually need it for the daily. Again, it's been nerfed, but it's still a thing. It's still, like, I think if you have the bonus, it's a little over 8,000 points, which is, you know, a decent amount. Yeah, it's certainly not the 43,000 it was before, though. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. There's a little post about it later on. There's a couple of armor sets. There's weapons. There's a couple of pets. And there's a mount, and then there's a couple of dyes as well, including one of the only pink dyes in the game. All right. This one's a little long in the tooth now, but I still wanted to mention it because it's kind of a big thing that did happen since the last show. This is the executive producer letter that Keith put out. This was right at the end of March 29th, and... yeah, he says, we're coming up on the tail end of quarter one for 2024. We're going to kind of go a little faster because, like, a lot of people would have heard about this, but it's still worth hitting on in case for people who might have missed this. We're seeing new players and returning players jumping into SWTOR, and I want to provide a recap of what's been happening since 7.4 went out in December. Dev streams. So we kicked the year off with a dev stream hosted February 14th. We'll be doing the same with 7.5, which we expect to host sometime in April.
Yeah.
So we haven't heard about that yet. So with luck, we'll hear about that soon.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I would assume relatively soon makes sense. We did have the ABC of the little 1A and then a B and then a C. So we've had all those. So probably makes sense that 7.5 might be coming out as sort of like the next one. And if they're going to do that, then that also follows that the dev stream related to it would be coming out as well. So we'll see. But we haven't heard quite yet. PvP Season 5 Pirates Plunder. That began February 27th. It's still going on. It's not as long as... Galactic Seasons, plus it started a little earlier, so it's definitely going to end a lot sooner than the Galactic Season is. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Katie and I will be on track to finish that, despite our little hiatus.
I couldn't do it without you.
I know.
I was funny? Like, this sucks. I was streaming too. I'm like, this isn't as fun without Chill.
I know what you mean. I've tried doing PvP on my own, and it's not the same. It really isn't.
I
think
that's because I know that the season before this one, we didn't really do it together. But the one before that, we did do it together, and we completed it. So I think we need each other for PvP.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. And date night missions, he mentions, which we've talked about on the show quite a bit. Let's see, the APAC server ones, from now till April 12th, but they did extend that until the 14th. You can get the free transfers. That's now done, but it was extended.
Yeah, it's 500.
But however, go ahead. It's now 500, right? Yeah. Instead of 1,000, subscribers have 50% off first transfers to Shea Vizsla. That's through June 10th, so that one's going on for quite a bit longer. The 15 million credit cap per character transfer is still going to be in effect.
Yep.
And characters must be at least level 20. Let's see. They have the Ahsoka-inspired armors. He's mentioned that, but we've talked about that on the show as well. Let's see.
What page are you on?
Right now, 13.
Okay.
And we did tease a little about what's on the horizon for Game of Thrones 7.5. The new story content is named Desperate Defiance, and we will be returning to Hutta.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah. And players familiar with SWTOR know we have seasonal events such as a Nar Shaddaa nightlife in the summer, Feast of Prosperity in the autumn, and Life Day in the holiday winter season. And then that means one season is missing. Happy to say the team is looking on a new spring event that will be debuting with 7.5.
Yeah, yeah.
More details to come. But yeah, but what I can say is players will have a pretty cozy time with it.
Ooh.
Interesting. Lane Vizsla has been up to a lot since our last updates. And with our last updates and with 7.5, players will see all of her story missions come to fruition.
Cool.
So we will find, that means we're finding out about the Basilisk droid.
Right.
So there still hasn't been an indication whether the Basilisk war droid is a pet, a companion, a mount, or some weird
right.
new thing or a combination of the things that we just mentioned. Any
companion
of them could be interesting or cool.
I want a companion.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
They'll be going over that with the 7.5 dev
stream. What about you, Jill? What would you like it to be?
I would love it to be like the first like combination where it's like a mount and a companion.
Right.
Like maybe when you're, so like if you're mounted, it's a mount, and as soon as you dismount, it becomes a companion.
Right.
Because your companion goes away when you're mounted anyway, and comes back when you're dismounted.
That would be cool.
So that they could technically, I mean, behind the scenes, I have no idea how difficult that would be, but those things are not on the screen at the same time normally anyway. So if they had a way to make it both, that would be pretty amazing.
Because you can cheat a little bit.
And unique too.
You could, because I have a Nexu companion and I have a Nexu mount.
Right.
So sometimes so I just jump in the air and then click the mount thing and it's like, there, and I'm off.
That's cool. Yeah, that makes sense. There's probably a few others that you could do like that too.
Because there is a Basilisk mount. So you could cheat.
Right. They came out with like the Mandalorian armor with the war droid mount. Huge. Yeah, that was pretty cool looking. All right. That would be cool. So so they extended the free transfers, but that's still over because it only went through 14th of April. They basically added another weekend to it, which is pretty cool, though. And then there's been something like a couple people have been having troubles with transfers. If you're having any troubles with a transfer, reach out to support@swotor.com with the details of your transfer so that they have the necessary info, and be sure to include your account name. So that is what you're supposed to do if you have troubles with one of the Shea Vizsla transfers, or probably transfers in general, but that Shea Vizsla transfers are sort of like the focus right now. They did, as they often do, gave us what all the Galactic Season's objectives would be. This is something that we've more or less decided we're not going to go through and like touch on everyone. There's just too many of them.
You're on your own, folks.
Right. They tend to repeat over after a few weeks anyway. And if you do want to know, it's on both SWTOR.com. Mm-hmm. And if you have access to our show notes through our Patreon, then you can also find it on the show notes for this episode, which is 486. This week is very PvP centric with both a Warzone one and an Arena one.
Woo!
So you can get it that way. There's like a heroic on rail space missions, the personal space missions, not the group one, the Starfighter PvP one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few other ones. But anyway, Eric Musco did also let us know about some of the changes in the Conquests. I thought was interesting. Okay, that's fine. Is that they changed? He kind of talks about the Conquest point change a little bit. Reminder what changed and why. In 7.4.1, we reduced the amount of Conquest points earned for the Advancement Reputation objective by a fairly substantial amount. That's an understatement. And we went from 43,000 to about 8,300. So that's like more than a three quarters reduction. Yeah. anyway, that he didn't include that in the thing. I'm adding a little op-ed to it. Sorry. Going back to what Eric Musco actually said, the reason we did this was to reduce the need for more reputation tracks in Galactic Seasons and to bring it in parity with the other objectives, given the relatively low effort required, which again, sort of true. Like if you have the reputation item, then the advancement reputation daily is super easy to do because all you have to do is click on one of them, but you have to get those things. And I guess it did need a balancing because it used to be that there wasn't nearly as many reputation items in the game that you could click on. There are some from, like, if you open up Ultimate Packs, you can get the Galactic Vendor one, whatever that's called. There's other ones, but a lot of the reputation gains are just automatic, and there's no actual object to hold on to for a daily later on. You can get some from the Bounty Hunters from this week. So Bounty Hunter is a great time to build up some of those advancement reputation ones for later on. So that's a good solid way to do it. There's not a ton of them in the game, or at least there wasn't until Galactic Seasons. And then every Galactic Season, there was a new one, and there was a fairly large number of those items that you could get.
Yeah.
So that's what brought the need in their mind to bring down the reputation point, because there's a lot more reputation items in the game that you could then click on whenever you wanted to, and therefore hold on and do it day by day by day by day by day. Anyway, but that's not quite how they phrased it. How they phrased it is to reduce the need for more reputation tracks in Galactic Seasons and bring it in parity with other objectives, given the relatively low effort required. Since you could, assuming you had rep tokens on hand, simply log in and right-click a token for thousands of points. Again, I've already said what I needed to say about that. Coming off that change, we heard some places where this had some knock-on consequences that we wanted to take into account. Low session time options. Whether this is for someone with a lot of alts or someone on their main who wanted to dip in for a quick session, the objective did allow a path for someone to be able to get points during short sessions, which is true. Like, some people are very busy. Mm-hmm. They have trouble getting on for long times, you know, or even reasonable amount of times, like, you know, daily, half hour, 20 minutes, whatever.
Right.
You know, if they're very busy, but you have time to just briefly get on, that's a way to actually get it done. And that's, you know, so that is an option, and that option has been more or less removed, like three quarters of the points being gone, something like that. Mm-hmm. Supplemental conquest points. This runs a little parallel to the first point, but having so many points from the rep objective allowed for someone to be able to get their conquest completed generally by playing a variety of complement and then supplementing by gaining reputation and then or using reputation tokens, a quick repeatable method of getting conquest points. Third, capable across alts. Again, a Venn diagram with the above 2 points, but the rep objectives was something that was powerful because someone with many alts could simply log in with low session time to bounce across alts as needed throughout the week to complete conquests. And that's true. Like, since the reputation nerf, basically I went from on servers where I cared to, basically Satil Shan and now Starforge usually as well, I basically could do with the reputation, I could have done I could get four weeklies done pretty easily just doing nothing but quickie stuff, like this low session time that he's talking about.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's usually a reputation item. Do five crew skills, which you would have done by, you know, getting that, prepping that the last time you were on the character.
Right, yeah.
stronghold decoration is you get a little bit, and then usually it's the gift giving one. That's the other big one where
it's like 18
gifts and then 18K. Advance their level. Yeah, and advancing the level is actually the one that gives you a good chunk. Also, if you're not at end game level, you also can get one just for the first time you give a gift to a companion. But be that as it may. So anyway, went from four and a pretty easy four, like four, and like if I screwed up a little bit or whatever, it didn't matter. I'd still be able to get four. Now it's two, and it's a two that if I screw up a little bit, I'm probably gonna have to do some, you know, missions or something to make sure I actually get that second one done, you know, unless I'm really careful. But anyway. And a quick aside on this point before we get to the conquest change. While we were discussing your feedback, we noted at one point specifically about daily areas and alts. Many daily areas required a specific amount of critical path progression before you could access them. And so this was a friction point for each alt, particularly if you had many of them. So for example, if you haven't, you know, if you haven't done the Xayas storyline, you can't do the Xayas daily area. If you haven't done Yavin 4, you don't have access to the Yavin 4 story area, and so on. It's a pretty common thing throughout the game. We're changing this in 7.4.1c, so the requirement to access daily areas is now relevant crit path achievement instead of crit path completion on that character.
It's cool.
So in other words, it's now achievement-based and level-based, presumably, rather than based on whether the character has, for example, done the Yavin storyline. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that there's been a little bit more detail from the devs that some of this is going to be coming in 7.5. Not everything is unlocked quite yet. But the idea is that basically, as long as you have the achievement, you can then do the
dailies.
Do the dailies on that one, which will be interesting. Actually, I was thinking because actually the daily one for the Galactic Seasons is actually the last two. It's like Runic and Manet Point, which is Ord Mantell. So like the very last ones, you have to go all the way through the story for those puppies.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I don't know if those are the ones that have unlocked or not, but it'd be interesting to see like, okay, like if I've got the achievement, can I just grab that on a different character now if I feel like it, or if I have done transfer to Shea Vizsla from a character, you know, like I had Runic unlocked, or at least the achievement that, you know, of having gotten there and done it, that would have been part of that legacy, and then I transferred to Shea Vizsla, so now can I do it on Shea Vizsla? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Anyway, I like that though.
Yeah, but in general, I think that's it's going to be a nice quality of life.
I do too.
It also means you won't have to worry about like where you are in the story on every single alt that you have if you're an altaholic like Giddy and I both are. Because like I have characters who, you know, may be end game level, but really haven't gotten that far through the story. For example, until they made when they had like the light and dark side thing, and you would click on one or the other to have, you know, to be gaining those points.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That was the period of time where your conquest points would also give you experience, and so I had a lot of people who had end game level for that time, but you know hadn't really done much. Like I was just logging on, and they happened to get some conquest points, so they gained some experience, and over time they eventually got to end game.
Right
So I have like a lot of characters at that level, but they hadn't necessarily done a lot of story for a long time, and so a lot of them, you know, and before now only would have had a very limited number of daily areas that unlocked.
Yeah.
So basically, you get the class story done, and like you can do Black Hole and a few other ones without having to do any special story. But a lot of the other ones, you have to do it, you know. So like the whole Dreadmaster area one, whatever that one's called, Oricon. You know, you've got and the other ones we mentioned,
Manon. Yavin
and all that stuff. Yeah, Manon, Zaiast, and all that.
Zoist.
All right. So yeah, so they're working on getting a few more of those unlocked, but apparently some of them are now unlocked, and some of them may not be quite yet, but they're looking to unlock them that way, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Let's see.
So understanding the feedback they were talking about now that they've nerfed the reputation one and that sort of like changing how people are able to sort of log in for a short amount of times if they have, you know, limited times. The infinitely repeatable complete a heroic mission conquest objective is now available at all levels, previously only available 10 to 49, which is interesting because I don't get that, actually. Okay, yes, wait, what? Because the conquest objective is available at all levels, originally from 10 to 49. Okay, I think they mean 10 to 80. Because 1 yeah. through 10, you don't have conquest anyway. So right. I think they're not being super clear. They're not extending it to 1 through 9 because there's no, they're not. I don't think they're actually extending conquest to 1 through 9 level characters. I think they're what they're saying, though, is it's instead of 1 through 80, it's really just 10 through 80.
Yeah.
So now you can complete heroic mission on an in-game character, and you can now get that a few thousand points that way.
Heroic missions.
The same one, complete a heroic mission, is now worth 2,000 conquest points, and it's a daily repeatable up from 1650. And of course, 2,000 is actually 5,000 points if you have a max stronghold bonus. So that's good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Good. And Starry Saber is confirming that, yes, if you transfer a character from a server that has unlocked those dailies, it will apply on the destination server.
Cool.
Which is cool.
Thanks, Starry.
Of course, you know, I'll have to, at some point, I guess I'll have to, we'll have to do more because, like, it will only have unlocked from when I did that a few weeks ago.
Right.
And then there's going to be, it sounds like there's going to be one on Hutta. It doesn't matter, though. It's fine. It's all good. I've got enough daily areas that I can do if I really need to.
I think you need more characters.
Yeah, exactly. Previously, the infinite... Oh, actually, it says infinitely repeatable. Previously, the infinitely repeatable heroic conquest objective was not available to anyone above level 49, so the changes should add another inflow of points to players completing those heroics now. However, the heroic conquest is for heroics, so if you're doing daily areas, a lot of the dailyers only have one heroic. If you're doing black hole, there's just one heroic. It's that little instance one at the end. If you're doing CZ-198, there's the droid boss that's a heroic. Other ones are not heroic. They're just missions.
Right.
They are daily missions, but they're not heroic, so they won't give you that. But you can go to, like, you know, Coruscant or Corellia or whatever, and do the heroic ones, and those actually all are heroic. So that's interesting. So that's actually, especially if you're going to do like a Corellia or an Alderaan or a Coruscant or Drum and Kos, that will be a pretty significant amount of infinitely repeatable points. That's pretty cool.
And you also, when you're doing that, you're going to be getting the those kill bonuses. So kill 50 and then the second bonus, kill 50, and those will stack with those points. So,
yep. We also increase the points players earn from the objective at the same time to supplement it further. Heroic missions are some of our fastest PvE content in the game. They have the added benefits of being soloable, alt-friendly, and can be completed while playing other content, such as daily areas. We felt that targeting heroics allowed us to address the problems raised from the 7.4.1 change, meaning the reputation one change, while still requiring a bit more direct engagement. All that said, conquests are definitely a place where we're continuing to pay close attention and plan to make more changes in the future. So keep the feedback coming. Mm-hmm. 7.4.1b did not have conquest changes, and they made sure to mention that. And then once 7.4.1c came out, yes, there were some changes. So Galactic Seasons, a pair of stronghold access keys will be removed from the mission item tab following unlocking the corresponding rooms. Anarchy in Paradise grants blueprint fragments as intended. Let's see. Those aren't particularly exciting. Let's see. Following conquest objectives have been added for Kessin's Landing. So now there's a Kessin's Landing mission complete, defeat enemies one, defeat enemies two, and weekly patrol.
There we go.
So that's all for the Kessin's Landing, which is the Ord Mantell one. Requirement to access the following daily areas has been updated to require only one character having unlocked the area previously and having the relevant legacy achievement. previously required each character to individually progress their story to unlock them. So the ones that are like this now are Iokath, Kessin's Landing, Mekeb, Manon, Ondron, Oricon, Runic, and Yavin 4. And there's going to be a little more information in a second here. I think I'm okay on the rest of those. Here's a little bit of extra information here regarding three different daily areas. Let's talk about these areas as they're slightly different. This is again from Eric Rishi. This change has not been made yet and likely will be made in 7.5. And Zyost, as noted above for spoiler reasons, this daily area is a bit more complicated and will likely remain as it is, where it does require character story progression to unlock. But we'll take a look, though.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
But, I mean, it's kind of the same for all of them. It's like, if you're either doing the story or you're not. But if, you know.
Well, I guess if you've already done it, then you've already know what's happening.
Yeah, I guess the weird thing about Zyost also is that, and again, kind of spoiler, a little spoilery, I guess, if you have never done Zyost, but it changes the area. Like, Zyost story area is way different from Zyost daily area.
Yeah.
Because it's post-story and the whole area has been changed by the story. So I can see why that is a little weird. And why it might be a little trickier for them to figure out ways to unlock that or to change it from the way it is. Anyway, the third one is Ossus. This one is not fully changed to unlock based on the achievement only. If you have the achievement, you will notice that some of the daily area will work, but some of the NPCs and missions will be unavailable right now. This is why we didn't put it in the patch notes. It will be fully available in 7.5. So again, this is another one that's... they're slating for 7.5.
Nice.
So hopefully, yeah. With any luck, maybe we'll know more. They're supposed to be, Keith had mentioned, there's going to be a dev stream scheduled for 7.5. We have not had that yet. Mm-hmm. And could be relatively soon. It does seem to be the next patch as far as we can tell. They can always add one if they need to for, you know, bug fix right. purposes or whatever. But it does seem to be the one that they're sort of shooting for next, which is cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah. And let's see. Is there anything else, Kitty? Do you have any, like, stream up new things coming out or anything like that?
Not that I can think of. My birthday's coming up, and I think I might do a,
nice.
I might do a 12-hour stream. I'm not sure. But okay. We'll see what happens.
Very cool. You've done that a couple of times, right? You've done 12-hour streams here and there.
Let's see here. I will probably be streaming before, or we'll probably be doing a new Teeny Cast before May the 4th. It lands on a Saturday this year, and I know Kitty and I are both going to dress up. So...
Oh, okay.
That's
going to
be
May the
fun.
4th, you want to do like you're going to be doing a cosplay thing.
Yeah, we're going to do a little cosplay thing.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Is it one you've done before on stream? Or
yeah, I only have one. I'm a one-trick pony when it comes to getting dressed up in Star Wars. I only have one Jedi robe outfit.
Fair enough. Yeah, so. I know what you mean. Yeah, because I have like one... like black robe, so I can do like the one Sithy look, and that's pretty much what I'm what I'm good for, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, then I think that's a show. If you have if you'd like to play with us in the Utini Knights Guild, amazing how many times I've done this and I still have to read it or else I screw it up.
Yep.
If you'd like to play with us in the Utini Knights Guild on the Republic side of the Satiel Shan server or in our
Utini Rage
Guild on the Empire side, do a slash /C join Utini. Wow, I am tired.
You got it.
Join the Utini channel, then let us know you're a fan of the show. You can email questions and comments about the show to utinicast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter using @UtiniCast or Mastodon at utinicast@mastodon.world. You can find contact details for us on our website, utinicast.com, including how to subscribe using iTunes and the rest. We record the show live bi-weekly on Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Pacific. Again, though, we might be doing the next one at 5 p.m. Pacific, yeah, so that we can get our guest in, by streaming at twitch.tv/UtiniCast. Our theme song is Doomsday by Jean-Paul Zogby. And thank you, the chat room.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
And we'll see you next show.